Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Primetime on Football Friday, 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game. Played nowhere else on earth, it is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
That's going to make the difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Pleased to have you along here. Big hot hour of Sony Open talk coming up.
On a Football Friday, Blazer and Sony Open talk.
What would the boss do if you and I just waltzed through the Sony Open leaderboard from 5 to 6 today?
Is he listening?
He usually is.
I'm guessing we get buzzed. Yeah.
He's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Do we not have, would he be like, hey, I trust you guys, but.
I think there would be he doesn't really have it. Like, he can't, like, pull the cord or anything, but.
He's like, what happened to Joey Harrington at 5:30?
Why are you talking about.
We just start asking Joey about the Sony Open.
So, who do you think of the top three or four guys, you know, Morikawa, these guys, who do you think's going to. Dude, that'd be hilarious.
Then you ask him about his golf game and.
Be a great bit. Well, we will not do that.
No.
It's Football Friday. Okay, so let's get back to football. Damn it.
We had to deal with the NERC thing. I mean, come on.
We did. I mean, pressing matters.
Pressing matters. And I just was, I was handed this piece of, it's not breaking news, but I did not see this, but it is more devastating than any news of the day. And that is the star of Breakin' and Breakin' 2, Ozone himself, Shabadoo Quinones, has died of COVID. What the hell, man?
Really?
How was that not national news?
I can answer that.
December 30th.
Nobody knows who he is?
I think people know who's the star of Breakin'. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I'm going to have to look it up.
I'm going to go ahead and say I don't know who that is.
Mike, you go to hell.
Shabadoo?
Shabadoo Quinones. He was Ozone in Breakin' and Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, I got nothing. Mm. Rest in peace, though.
Yeah.
Big fella.
Freaking A, man.
Well, hey, we've got three NFL head coaches that have been hired today, which we'll get to in our next segment.
Yeah, suddenly we had a lot of NFL news to get to.
Joey Harrington will be by at 5:30. But, the Bruce Feldman piece. So Bruce Feldman writes for Fox Sports now, and he put out a list today. The Ducks have been really tight-lipped about their defensive coordinator search, although it leaked out that Mississippi State guy was interviewing the other day.
Yeah.
So we don't really know what's going on with that search, but Bruce Feldman put out seven names that he is hearing are up for the job. So Zach Arnett, the Mississippi State defensive coordinator, was one of them, although Football Scoop is reporting that he is already out. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know who's right. Seahawks assistant coach Clint Hurt.
I know very little about Mr. Hurt.
Clint Hurt with two T's. He crossed paths with Cristobal at Miami.
Yeah, all these guys, by the way, on the list have some sort of tie to Mario Cristobal.
The ex-Texas defensive coordinator, Chris Ash, who is rumored to be up for a job with the Jags as well, but...
Wasn't he the failed OC or head coach at Rutgers?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Vols defensive coordinator, Derek Ansley, so Tennessee, he worked with Cristobal at Bama, and he is kind of in a weird spot because Tennessee just brought in Kevin Steele from Auburn, but they didn't name him defensive coordinator.
Okay.
Co-defensive coordinator.
Well, but that happens.
No, I don't think they said that either. I think they did. This is a weird thing. They brought in Kevin Steele.
Yeah.
And they have not given him, like, he's just on the staff.
Huh.
So the defensive coordinator is Derek Ansley, who does have ties to Cristobal. He is technically Tennessee's defensive coordinator.
So is this
according to Bruce Feldman, he is up for the Oregon job.
Okay, well, maybe that's why you brought him in.
And maybe looking to get out of there.
Yeah, maybe he's looking to get out, he's been looking around, so you brought someone in case that happens. Because we have seen co-defensive coordinators quite a bit. That seems to be a fairly common trend. And I wonder, like, some of that has to be, too. Like, I know Cristobal, when he was at Alabama, wanted to be named co-offensive coordinator because it's all about climbing the rung, right? It's hard to get a head coaching offer if you're not a coordinator. So I think that whole co-coordinator thing, but it sounds like that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking here. Like, the top three stories that come up when you just put in Kevin Steele, Tennessee, is we have so many questions about Kevin Steele in Tennessee. Another one says, by hiring Kevin Steele, Tennessee creates confusion. That's what they do best. Another one says, Tennessee football reportedly hiring Kevin Steele is suspicious.
That's the most Tennessee thing ever.
It really
is.
It's like, what are they doing with Kevin Steele? I don't know. So anyway, that guy, Ansley, is on the list. Falcons defensive line coach, Tosh Lapoy.
Yeah, and he doesn't necessarily have the best reputation. Like, he ran Alabama's defense for a very, very short time. And I know Bartu, who's pretty tied into this, College Ball Matrix, he poo-poos Tosh Lapoy quite a bit.
Wait, he was the Alabama defensive coordinator?
For a very, very brief moment. And then...
Isn't he known more as a recruiter
supposedly a great recruiter.
Okay.
But I would make the argument that Oregon has enough great recruiters. How about we find someone that can coach?
Well, yeah, you better not just hire a recruiter as defensive coordinator.
I certainly hope not.
So apparently Lapoy is also a candidate for the Texas defensive coordinator job with Sark. Yeah. So who knows there. And then a couple other names on the list. Well, the Cincinnati defensive coordinator was on there, but he took the Notre Dame job. His name is Marcus Freeman.
And that's,
that would have been a good get.
And that's the one I was talking about when this thing first came up was go find, you know, you got Avalos from Boise State. Go find someone that's running a defense at one of the lower programs because it's going to be hard to pilfer someone from a major Power 5 program. I mean, in the years past, you've raided the Colorados and you've raided the Washington States because you can just pay them more. But it's hard to go get someone from a big-time program. It's like Jim Leonard would be everyone's, right, like pipe dream. But again, it's hard to grab someone from Wisconsin that's making, you know, $1.2 million.
And then two other names are Georgia co-defensive coordinator Glenn Schumann. He worked with Cristobal at Alabama as well. And then Army.
He probably came over in the Kirby Smart thing.
And then Army defensive coordinator Nate Woody. And there are no known connections there.
Yeah, no. Well, and then, you know, Bartu, who does participate in some of these searches, you know, and he's been very weird about this. Dave won't give you any name. So I wonder, you know, if he somehow is tied into this. But he did reply to the Bruce Feldman thing and said, I've been hearing someone totally different. We'll see what Mario does.
Well, that was the football scoop guy.
Yeah, the football
scoop
guy.
And then Bartu quote tweeted it and said this.
Said, if you need any help convincing boosters to pony up to get the best elite guy, we will help. We can help. No questions. You get what you pay for. Go Ducks.
So there's somebody.
Wait, who said that?
That was Bartu.
Oh, he's like asking
and
Oregon.
And he tagged Coach Cristobal in.
Yeah, he's like, if you need help, he's like, you know, let me know.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because Dave graduated from Oregon.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm very curious who that could be. Because you would think like a guy like Feldman would kind of know the options, right?
Well, and there may be options here, and this may be a financial thing, right? Maybe it's Cristobal has a guy that he wants, but, you know, again, this was to my point. If you're, I'm just throwing it out there. Let's say, for example, it's Jim Leonard, right? The Wisconsin defensive coordinator who's very well thought of. Wisconsin plays very good defense, but makes $1.1 million, and he went to Wisconsin, right? And Wisconsin is a very good program. You know, not national title program over the last, you know, handful of years, but Wisconsin is a top 25 program. if that is the guy, you're not getting Jim Leonard out to Oregon for $1.1, $1.2 million. Could you get him out for $1.8? Could you get him out for $2? And so maybe that's kind of what you're talking about, is if that is the elite guy, if that's the best guy and that's the guy you want and it takes money, that may be one of those things that is has been a challenge at Oregon to pony up that kind of SEC money.
Didn't Cristobal get money for his assistance in his new deal though?
Yeah, but that's a lot of coin. We haven't seen many people in the Pac-12 that are willing to pay what some of the big time assistants. And I'm guessing that if you want to pull a guy from another major Power Five program, you got to overpay. And that's just the crux of it. And we don't know. We don't know who Cristobal wants. They're keeping pretty tight-lipped about this. And we don't know what they're willing to pay.
As fans, we get all fired up about this kind of stuff. And there's a lot of names, and it's kind of fun to speculate. I fully trust Mario Cristobal here.
Yeah.
I really do. I think
he's made good hires.
I think he's done a good job hiring coordinators so far. And I see no reason why he wouldn't, especially because he just, like Mike said, he just got a bump in pay for his assistants. I see no reason why he wouldn't make a really quality hire here. So,
well, and I think he realizes too, as a CEO,
and not just a buddy, you know, yeah, what I mean? Like, yeah, not just a guy, oh, I know this guy, he's great.
No,
but
he knows.
He's the right guy, and he's out there, and I think Cristobal can find him.
None of those names on the Feldman list really excited me personally. You're like, oh, well,
there are a lot of, I mean, you don't know who Glenn Schumann is, no. But hey, if you can pull the Georgia defensive coordinator, isn't that like, aren't you looking at that going, whoa, yeah, I mean, that's a solid pretty get. Freaking good.
And this is why I said like that co-defensive thing, because you said he's their co-defensive coordinator, and this is where it comes from, is like, it's when you're this, the defensive line coach at Georgia, you don't get as many looks. If you're the defensive line coach and you get upgraded to co-defensive coordinator, then all of a sudden you're in line for bigger and better jobs. So, yeah, I think if you got a guy that's halfway in charge of running Georgia's defense where they're not cheap, and last time I checked, for most of the years Kirby Smart's down there, they play pretty good defense. This year was a little rocky. You know, is anyone going to argue with that?
Okay, so the Jets, Falcons, and Lions have their coaches.
Yes.
Head coaches, okay. Who do you think of those three is getting the most heat right now for who they're going to hire?
Run that by me. Like, getting the most heat for
who they're going to hire.
What do you mean who they're going to hire?
People don't like it.
Oh gosh, that's interesting. Well, it's not the Jets.
No, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, are we going?
It's the Lions.
Yeah.
We'll tell you who they hired next on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Okay, in the news is coming up next. Got some COVID news, as you probably have come to expect.
Yeah.
But first, we've got three new head coaches in the NFL. Two appear to be official-ish?
No, two are official. Well,
two
no,
are both official.
Yeah, the two are official. I know the one.
The team Twitter accounts both tweeted it.
True story.
Well, I knew the Jets was official. I wasn't certain about Arthur Smith.
That is official.
And then we've got one that's... supposedly, we got to wait until a team gets eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah, so the Jets are going to hire Robert Saleh, the Niners defensive coordinator.
And he's been a guy that's been on the radar for a couple years, and he's going to take some guys with him from San Francisco. And for the most part, everyone is giving this a pretty good thumbs up.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like a pretty interesting guy. You know, he becomes the first Muslim-American head coach in NFL history, which is interesting. And he is taking, you said he's going to take some guys. He's taking Mike LaFleur with him.
Yep.
And of course, Mike LaFleur is the brother of
Matt LaFleur.
And so that automatically means he's a great OC.
So, well, he was a guy that the name was being kicked around, possibly like Seattle. Remember, they were talking about it because of their creative run schemes. And but yeah, I guess he's going to New York, as is usually the case when a guy leaves. You know, he'll usually pilfer a couple guys off the staff.
The Niners are going to promote D'Amico Ryans, who was coaching inside linebackers. He is going to be their new defensive coordinator.
And by the way, he was a great NFL player, Alabama linebacker.
Okay, so I've got a quick clip to play. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to play a little. This is a little taste of Robert Saleh, who is always very intense on the sideline. But yes, man, you got to respect his defenses. He's lights out. He lost a ton of guys this year, and he still had like a top five defense. I mean, he's really good. But as we'll talk about later with Joey Harrington, and we've talked about this a million times, being a head coach is so much more than X's and O's. And I find this little clip here of Salah. This was, I don't know how it got on the internet, but it almost looks like it's part of his interviews or something. Mm-hmm. This is just him talking about his philosophy.
I think it's a coaching clinic.
Is that what it is?
A bunch of coaches were talking and it was his turn to talk.
Okay. Yeah. Cause there's a bunch of pictures of other coaches on the screen. And so, yeah, he's talking to a bunch of other football coaches here and this is his philosophy. So, this just makes you feel good about, if you're a Jets fan, you hear this, you're like, I like that guy and he's got a shot.
Your staff completes you. He said this, and I'm really just repeating it, but your staff completes you. I can ask every single person in this room to describe a great coach. We all think we're great coaches. And the reality is we are all great coaches. But describe a great coach, and I promise you'll describe yourself. It's inherent. It's unconscious. If I ask Raheem Morris to describe a great coach, he's going to describe himself. If I ask Eric Bieniemy to describe a great coach, he's going to describe himself. But when we go back to what we learned with Pete Carroll in connecting to and understanding ourselves, staff diversity goes beyond the color of our skin. And this is what Braves was getting to. You have to know your weaknesses. You have to connect to and understand yourself. And you have to understand what you can't give a player. No one coach can give a player everything. So, no, it's not good to hire 20 Robert Salas on a staff. Sure, I think I'm a hell of a coach, but there are things that I can't do that D'Amico Ryans can, or Chris Kocurek, or Joe Woods, who's now at Cleveland, or Jeff Hafley, who's at Boston College, or Johnny Holland, or Daniel Bullocks. There are things that they can do that one another can't, but together we make a staff. And so, yes, you want different race. You want different personalities. You need different values. But together, when you put together your staff, understand that you're bringing people who do things that you can't.
That's really good.
I love it. And I heard him and I was like, dude, that guy's got a shot to be a good head coach.
If you wanted to lay out exactly the sort of mentality you want from your head coach when it comes to building a staff, you couldn't get any better than that. And this is the thing that I think is criminally underrated in the NFL and college. It's staff. We all want to talk about Saban, you want to talk about Urban Meyer, you talk about Pete Carroll or this or that. There is no such thing as one magical guy. You can give me Nick Saban, and if you throw him into a situation with a bad GM and a bad salary cap guy and a bad talent evaluator, it doesn't matter. You can't coach everybody. Like there's just that, and we hear this all the time from head coaches, that one of the things you have to learn to be a head coach is you have to learn to let go. You can't be the head coach of everything. So If I'm a Jets fan, maybe, just maybe, I've allowed myself a little bit of hope. And his first decision that he has to make along with the GM is, what the hell do you do about quarterback? Are you sticking with Sam Darnold? Or are you pulling the cord?
Yeah. Just that awareness is a great start. Yeah. You know, just to have that awareness, because a lot of coaches don't, they just think they can do it all and they're right about everything and they got big egos and it ends up being their downfall. So then the Falcons mm-hmm. are hiring Arthur Smith.
And he was one of the big sexy names. He interviewed, what, 5 of the 7 openings. Like
he is the Titans offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and he's known for being creative in the run game and helping Tannehill. And he's very, very well thought of.
He is also the son of the founder of FedEx.
Oh.
Did you know that?
So I'm guessing that he doesn't need the money.
Yeah, probably not.
By the way, I do. Like, I think this Atlanta job is one of the more difficult jobs. I know everyone's like, oh, the Falcons. I think this is a bad gig that he's walking into. You're staring at $40 million that you have to shave off your cap before anything. So you've got bad contracts. So you're going to have a bunch of dead cap money next year. You're going to leave huge holes in the roster, and you have an aging quarterback who's probably on the wrong side of his best play that has a cap hit of $40 million. I just think this Atlanta squad, while on paper you look at it and you're like, oh, it's not that bad a roster, I think this is a way more challenging job than people are giving it credit for. When you look at Jacksonville, you look at the Jets, those are viewed as worse jobs, but they're kind of blank slates and you've got some room to operate. You're going into a bloated situation in Atlanta where you're going to have to make cuts, not additions. You got to figure out what the hell you were doing with Matt Ryan. Is this a total teardown? And if it is, do you have the confidence in ownership where you say, hey guys, we're going to be bad for a couple of years, stick with me, or do you have to go in and put a Band-Aid on this thing and try to win right away?
At least though, you have a stable franchise and a good owner, right? I mean, a lot of the other open jobs, you've got really, really unstable franchises with owners that have been notoriously bad, especially like I look at like Detroit. You're like,
yeah,
I don't want to go be the head coach there. At least you've got Arthur Blank, and at least you've got a franchise that has made a Super Bowl somewhat recently and has had some success.
And then the Lions have not hired this guy yet because he's still in the playoffs with the Saints, but the Lions are getting notably crushed for apparently coming to terms with, until it's not official, but apparently the guy is going to be Dan Campbell, who is the Saints he's an assistant head coach and tight ends coach with the Saints. He's a longtime NFL guy, played in the NFL.
He's a tight end. He's never been a coordinator. Now, he was the interim coach in Miami.
Yeah. When remember Joe Philbin?
Yeah, the most, the winning personality that was.
Just so mundane. But yeah, he took over, I think, when Joe Philbin was fired. But he is is so Detroit Lions. Like, his name, well, look, I think what they're going for is they're going for the antithesis of what they had before, which is oftentimes what these teams fall into this trap of, hey, Matt Patricia wasn't this, this, or this, so we need a guy who is this, this, and this. And Dan Campbell is the opposite of Matt Patricia. Everybody loves him. Apparently, Dan Campbell's like this great motivator, this great leader. But X's and O's wise, it's going to be really important for him to bring in really strong coordinators in order to make this work.
It's just interesting because Dan Campbell was not a name that anyone else was looking at. And that doesn't mean he's going to be a bad hire. I'm just saying, if everyone's looking for the same handful of guys and you're like, well, I'm going to take the guy way the hell out here. It's a bit of a head scratcher, but you know, he did have some success in Miami.
5-7.
Yeah. You know, he took
over that. That's really Lions-like.
You know what? That is very much Lions-like. And much like we were talking about within Atlanta, Detroit's got a little bit of this. And what do you do? Is this a tear down rebuild with Matt Stafford? Or do you go in and you try to put a Band-Aid on this thing? To me, if I'm Dan Campbell or if I'm Arthur Smith, I mean, you're going to take those jobs regardless because there's only so many NFL jobs and, you know, it gives you lifetime security. You're going to get a bunch of money. But I would like to, if I was the head coach, I would say, can we please just start over? Trade our two expensive quarterbacks and let's just go through the draft. Let's try to get this and give me a couple of years. Kind of the situation like Matt Rhule is in down in Carolina. I just would prefer more of a blank slate than I would trying to go in with an aging quarterback whose best days are behind him and try to somehow morph that into a Super Bowl roster in 3 years.
Well, I'm going to go on record and tell you right now, maybe wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but the Lions just screwed up again.
Seems very Lion-esque.
Yep. All right. Well, did you see the late breaking Yankees news there, Mikey?
I did.
So,
Yankees are getting Corey Kluber.
What?
Yeah, Yankees just signed Corey Kluber.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Well, why is that a for God's sakes? The dude's been hurt and was terrible.
He's going to go to New York now and be great.
Yeah, he'll win another Cy Young there.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Another Cy Young. Yeah, Mike, look at Mike. Hey, Cy Young.
No, I mean, it's a high-risk, high-reward, you know? It's a good little signing.
And it doesn't matter because if they pay a bunch of money and it doesn't work out, who cares? Because
they're not going to pay him a bunch of money. It's probably going to be a 1 or 2 year deal. And I'm more happy that the Yankees are only paying DJ LeMahieu $15 million a year. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go to the in the news.
I see what you did there.
We'll talk about the stupid Yankees. I'm the one that brought it up, and I regret it instantly. In the news is next. Hey, Wilson High School is getting renamed.
Oh, yeah. They've
settled on a name.
Yeah, this has been in the works for a while.
Yeah. Last time we talked about it, they were down to four or five finalists.
Yeah, Bodie McBoatface, is that where we're going with this? Schoolie McSchoolface?
Schoolie McSchoolface, yeah.
They've picked a name, and we'll get to that next. Here's Mike.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, pleased to have you along. It is Friday. Joey Harrington will be by at 5:30. We will talk to him about sports and football and such. Right now, though, it is January 15, 2021. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman, Jason. Today is National Hat Day.
Oh, I got my hat right here, although I'm not wearing it. This would be my 10-barrel brewing company hat that I...
Yeah, you wear that often.
One of my
good-looking hat.
I've kind of gone away from sports hats, to be honest with you.
It's like a trucker hat.
Yeah, I don't wear many... I have a Mets lid, an A's lid, and that's kind of about it. I've kind of gone away from it.
It's also National Strawberry Ice Cream Day.
Which, oh, that's delightful.
That is delightful. Strawberry ice cream is great.
You know, I also like just taking vanilla ice cream and putting strawberries in it. I did that the other day.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of strawberry ice cream, although I do like strawberries in ice cream. I think the artificial flavor just bothers me.
What is your favorite type of ice cream? Ooh. Just one flavor. Like, let's not get cute.
Pralines and cream.
What?
Pralines and cream.
Seriously?
Yeah. I would say if you're going with one, I would have said like a Chunky Monkey, but that's like a...
That's Ben and Jerry's.
That's a Ben and Jerry's. But if you just said a generic, like if I go into like a... Lay down at the coast and you give me a good pralines and cream.
Okay.
I'm going with that.
I'll go chocolate peanut butter.
Okay. I'm going to go orange sherbet on your ass.
I got no problem with that. Now,
I love orange sherbet.
Does that have the vanilla mixed into it or just the orange?
Either.
Because I like when you get those like those little cups where you get the orange sherbet, but it's got the vanilla side by side. Mm. You know how I feel about the whites. Mix that in there and all of a sudden you've
Got to have your white.
You've got a tasty treat.
It's like the orange Julius.
Yes. Yes.
Wilson High School will be renamed Ida B. Wells Barnett High School.
What?
Ida B. Wells Barnett High School. That's what they chose.
Ida?
Yeah. Ida first name, B middle initial, Wells Barnett hyphenated last name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know the Barnett part. I just thought it was Ida B. Wells, but apparently it's Ida B. Wells Barnett, and that will be the name of the high school.
Can I ask the question?
Yes.
Who the hell is Ida B. Wells Barnett, and should I know that?
I've heard of her. I don't know. Maybe you should, but you're a white supremacist, so you probably don't.
Is she not white?
No, she is black. She was a journalist, an activist, an educator, and she was born into slavery during the Civil War.
Okay.
Ida B. Wells. So that's who they will name Wilson after.
I'm reading about her right now.
Yes.
She battled sexism, racism, violence.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So screw you, Woodrow.
Yeah.
You've been replaced.
Tip of the cap, Ida B. Wells. Although that's kind of a mouthful for a high school. Where do you go? I go to Ida B. Wells Barnett.
I bet you it becomes I go to Wells Barnett.
Yeah, there you go.
That's probably what it'll be.
Yeah, Wells Barnett.
Yeah.
And that's got a good ring to it.
A little bit.
So the Wells Barnett.
It kind of sounds fancy.
What are we going mascot?
Don't they already have a mascot? Like, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. What is Wilson's mascot?
I don't know, but wouldn't they keep their original mascot or do they change the mascot?
Someone here said that, were they the Quakers? Was that who that was?
Wilson?
What was Wilson? Someone help me out. Someone said on here that they were a teacher there and they were all waiting to see what the new mascot would be.
They're the Trojans.
The Trojans.
Yeah. So the Wells Barnett Trojans.
I don't think they're going with the Trojans.
Okay.
According to this teacher here. Mm-hmm. He's all debating what they're going to be. Who's the Quakers? Isn't there a Quakers around here?
I don't know. Ask me that.
Where's Swag when I need him on
this?
Yeah,
exactly.
He's all, he's dialed in on this.
Well, Shutdown Brown now says Oregon and other states will not be receiving more COVID vaccines next week.
Franklin, by the way, was the Quakers, but they're ditching. I was going to say, because I remember saying that someone was eliminating the Quakers, and I thought maybe that was
Franklin.
But Franklin is getting rid of it. Wilson is just getting rid of the name, but maybe getting a new mascot.
We don't know. She says she is disturbed that there is no Federal Reserve of doses as promised. We will file this for the sake of in the news and the archives. We will file this under the category of least shocking news ever.
Yeah. Hey, don't worry, guys. We've got a Federal Reserve of vaccines. Wait, we don't have any. Sorry, screw you.
So you'll have to wait a little longer if you're an old or a nurse or something.
That's just...
But
it shouldn't shock us.
That's where we're at.
And yet every day you wake up and you read something new and like, can we bungle this anymore? Is it humanly possible?
The answer to that is probably yes.
Yeah, it can sometimes
just
be
keep
better.
Waiting.
It can always be worse.
That's right. Now, I will tell you some good news before we break, and that is that Oregon did hit its goal yesterday of administering 12,000 doses per day. So they did do that. So that's good.
Okay.
So it's, you know, people are getting vaccinated slowly but surely. My wife's going to be vaccinated soon as a nurse. And then Officer Potter, random, but he texts me. He's like, hey, I get my shot tomorrow.
So is he going to be the ones that take? Because I know a lot of police forces and like sheriff departments are refusing to get them.
Why? They just don't.
They don't
want anti-vax.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's getting his, I think.
Well, that's good.
At least he said he was.
I look, I don't want to say the agency, but I had a friend of mine say that his law enforcement group that he's with were all offered the vaccine, and he said about 80% of them said no.
80%?
80%.
Okay. I would ask why, but
I don't know.
Whatever.
I just was
to each their own.
You know why.
I just was scratching my head on that one.
Do I know why? Do I? I don't know that I do, but...
All right, well, go, Officer Potter, get your vaccine.
Yeah, he just got his vaccine.
Good.
In his arm.
Well, the sooner we all get to... Oh, it doesn't go in the rump or anything?
No. Tell you what. No, never mind. Had a good joke.
I was trying to set you up for it there. But
yeah, I'm not going to...
It's only 3.7 inches.
Oh, God. I'm not going to take that bait. Anyway...
You want to take this bait?
I got 1.6 inches.
Get your shots, okay? We have some more COVID news. We have a free COVID testing site that's popped up, and COVID has not only hit the gorillas, but it has hit the minks.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What about the minks? What are we going to do?
We'll have that next on ITN.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, the Hot 5 at 5 in moments. Some head coaches hired. We've got the latest on Nurkic, Yusuf Nurkic. But this is in the news, January 15th. Vancouver, that's where you live.
Yes, it is.
You're a
Vancouver.
Vancouverite.
Like when you're at a concert. You're like, well, thank you, poor guy. He knows where we're at. Yeah.
Vancouver has opened a free COVID-19 testing site.
Okay.
At Tower Mall.
Oh.
Yeah. So you can go in there and get tested for the COVID.
I haven't been to Tower Mall in 25 years.
9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday in the parking lot of the mall. Just show up there. No, wait. You have to register. You have to register for times ahead of time by going online.
Okay. I don't even know what's in Tower Mall anymore.
I don't know what Tower Mall is.
Yeah, it's a strip mall. But like back in the day, it was a thing. But I'm not sure what. Look, it's not in the best area of town, you know.
Yeah. Well, now that the vaccine has been rolled out somewhat, we've kind of forgotten about actual COVID testing.
Yes. By the way, you had to have one.
I've had two.
I have not been tested yet for the COVID.
And I've been negative both times.
I do not know if I have had the COVID or not.
And both times they told me, not only was I negative, I probably had the greatest negative test ever. Probably ever.
It was perfect.
It was perfect. They said they've never seen anything like it.
It was a perfect test. Well, my special lady friend, she got tested because she had to have surgery. And so I'm assuming if she doesn't have it, then therefore I don't have it and I'm fine.
Ah, you're fine.
I'm going with that. That and I haven't been sick. I will say this. I have not been sick once this entire year.
I know. That's one positive of the COVID. If you don't catch the COVID, we're not passing around the flu, or we're not really passing around any colds or anything.
Well, it's nowhere to go.
Because the kids aren't, you know, the
kids aren't.
That usually comes from the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, you wash your hands and you're wearing the mask.
Yeah, it's great. Maybe we've learned a little something.
Well,
probably not, though.
No, probably not.
Two gorillas at the San Diego Zoo Safari Park have tested positive for COVID-19.
Great. This is how the Planet of the Apes, man, is going to jump to the apes, and then they're going to get some form of simian, you know, COVID, and then give it back to us, and then we're all going to die. Then we got smart chimps running around. I'm telling you, this is Planet of the Apes. Although, I, for one, would like to welcome our new monkey overlords.
I think they'd like the show.
I think so. Look, we've taken this about as far as we humans can. Let's turn it over to the monkeys and see what they got.
Apparently, two of their gorillas began coughing on Wednesday of last week. So then they tested their poo-poo for...
Are they in trouble or like
for COVID?
Do they have to
quarantine them?
Okay.
You know, they got to keep them separate. They don't want all the other, you know, gorillas getting it.
Yeah. You can't have that spreading around the gorillas.
Yeah. A third gorilla also had symptoms, but they're all going to make a full recovery now.
Remember when we were told that like cats couldn't get it, and then like cats got it, and they were like, dogs can't, and then dogs got it.
Did you see the story about the South Carolina coach? Basketball coach?
Yeah, Frank Martin's got it again.
Yeah, Frank Martin had it in May last year.
Yeah.
He got it again.
And he said it kicked his ass.
The second time he said it was the worst.
Yeah.
So that's great. And then, you know, we were talking about the gorillas. What about the minks? Nobody ever thinks about the minks.
No. Well, I mean, outside of like, that's like the weasel. And are we still making mink coats or is that like a no-no?
I don't know. There's a mink farm out in Eastern Oregon, I guess.
Are they just slaughtering them for like the fur?
I hope not. I don't like the idea of that, but I don't know what a mink farm. There's a mink farm.
Can I tell you, like, and I still have this in my house because I don't know what to do with it. Someone can have it if they want.
You have a mink?
When my grandmother died, right? She's Swedish, and over there, like, I don't think back in the day, like, the animal rights things were like a huge deal. Like, she had like seal pelts and stuff, some kind of weird things that I don't think you're supposed to have. And she has a, it's not a scarf, but like you drape it around your neck, but it's not really a scarf. You know what I mean? It's just like I guess it's a scarf, but it's not really meant for that. But it's a mink, and it's like got the face and the,
oh my God.
Yeah. And the hands. It's yeah.
You still have that, huh?
Yeah.
Is that worth something?
I don't know. I don't know what to do with it. And she has a full like coat that's like Arctic fox. And again, I'm like, what the hell do I do with this? Like, you take that down to the Goodwill and be like, hey, 19,000 foxes died to make this coat. Have at it.
Three mink have escaped from a COVID-19 infected mink farm currently under quarantine, and they have since trapped and tested them for the virus. The results?
COVID.
Two of them have the COVID.
Great. Although, if we're just killing the minks anyways, does it... minks and chinchillas, I don't know if that's still like a no-go here, but the only thing I think of with like minks and chinchillas is that we're just offing them for the fur.
Well, they're saying it's open season on mink trapping right now, which means that trappers could be exposed to the COVID.
So you can get the COVID from the mink.
Apparently.
Although if you are trying to kill the mink just for the fur, maybe you deserve to get the COVID. And someone's saying it's a mink stole. That's what I have.
Did you just throw it around your neck?
It is the creepiest damn thing. It's in a closet somewhere, but it's got the hands and the face right. It's terrifying. Like, I don't know who is walking around with that thing around your neck and you're like, oh, don't mind me. There's just a face there.
Well, you have it in your closet, Sook, so you should explain.
I don't know what to do with it. Like, we went and cleaned out her house when she passed away, and somehow I ended up with it. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with this.
So they're saying that
you can throw it away.
The infected mink,
I suppose.
The ones that escaped, there's no mutations of the virus that have been detected yet, but the danger is that perhaps it would mutate and mink COVID would be passed along. You know, like, this is this weird thing.
We've been talking about the animal uprising for years, and this is, we've been warning you, it's going to be something like this.
I just didn't know that minks were such a thing still. Like, I guess I never really thought about the mink.
Well, they're part of the weasel family, and I don't think anyone likes the weasels.
But we have a bunch of minks in Oregon, I guess.
Minks and ferrets and weasels. No, I did not.
Yeah. And so it's open. So from like November to March, you can hunt or trap mink. So, yeah.
Well, and they're kind of cute. Like, why are we? Because normally we go based on like, if you're cute, we care about you. And if you're not, then you can go to hell. The mink is pretty cute. You would think there would be more outrage over this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, no one cares about the armadillo. They're like, whatever. Or the skunk or the possum. But the mink's kind of adorable.
It is a good question. Somebody asked, how are these animals getting the virus? I have no idea. This S is nuts.
Well, maybe some trapper was hunting mink and he had the COVID and he gave it to the mink. I don't know.
Potter thinks you should wear it and walk around claiming you're the king of the north.
Cruz, wear the fox coat and the mink stole?
Dude, you'd look like...
You could pull it off.
You probably could.
I'm telling you...
You'd look more like King of the North than Jon Snow.
How is that guy King of the North? I will tell you, the fox coat is... that guy looks nothing, by the way, like a northerner. The fox coat is actually quite stunning in like 8,000 degrees. It's just... I feel bad of how many foxes had to die for that thing so that my grandmother, like in 1962, could walk around Sweden.
If you grow your beard more, you can be like Tormund.
A fancy guy. Yeah, there you go.
Fella, let's turn the page. Those foxes are dead. You're not bringing them back. Throw that coat on. You rock that.
I don't think it fits.
Oh.
You know, my grandmother was not a giant woman. It probably fit you.
Give it to your lady.
I don't think she wants to wear that thing.
I cannot in good conscience.
There's a lot of blood on that coat.
Yeah, I
can't.
A lot. I'm pretty sure that's the sort of thing that PETA like throws paint at you if you wear if right. you wear out.
Immediately ruins it?
Yes.
What a great bit that is.
Because the fox has faces on it, too.
And I say, great.
Oh.
Wait. That's oh.
sad. Yeah, like the like around the hood or whatever, it's got a little...
That's very sad. Because foxes are cute.
So are minks.
Mike's down with the fox. All right, well, that's probably all we have time for here on In the News. The Hot 5 at 5 is next. We've got several NFL coaching hires. We'll have the latest on how long Yusuf Nurkic will be out. And the Yankees sign a couple of bros. Oh, wait. I also have another tease. Did you see who Pete Carroll's talking to about his OC?
I've seen a bunch of people, yes. But I haven't seen anything that's...
Oh, but the name? Yeah.
I don't know if I have.
Oh, baby.
Okay. Get ready.
Buckle up.
Buckle up, buddy.
You got your sports pants on?
Oh, boy.
Are they flaccid?
All right. Yeah, they are. There's plenty of room.
We'll get to that next as well. It's all in the Hot 5 at 5 on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.